Good morning, Church in the Falls. How is everyone this morning? So are we excited about the snow? That's pretty positive. It's beautiful. It's brutally cold. It's wonderful. That's a nice day for a little while. We'll get tired of it later and we can bemoan it at that point. But today, it just reminds me of God's grace and how everything's clean and fresh. And I'm going to blow these candles out so they don't burn out before the next service. Alrighty. Well, thank you all for coming this morning. I pray that your morning is blessed and that God is with you and that you feel His presence and that you're experiencing and enjoying it this morning. As you know, our theme this year has been learning to dance to the beat of God's heart, trying to understand the big picture. Well, there is no greater theme throughout the entire Bible than the one we talk about today. Anybody remember the story, A Pretty Woman from 1990, that movie that most of you shouldn't raise your hand and admit that you watched, but most of you have? It's one of those movies that I was, I think I was a high school kid, junior high, something like that, junior in high school, I think it was about the time frame it came out, and I saw this movie, and it was scandalous in my mind, but there was something true about it, and it didn't seem right, because why would rich, wealthy guy go after street girl? Something didn't add up. It bothered me until 1994 when I actually read the whole Bible through for the first time and I saw this story that was just like the movie. I thought, that is so wild. They ripped off the Bible again, one of the greatest stories of all time. And they made it R-rated so nobody can even watch it. So it was double bad. The book of Hosea, which hopefully most of you read this week. If not, I hope you'll read it this week. It's a challenging book because it's very adult content, very heavy to read. It's poetic, has lots of imagery, lots of symbolism, lots of distinctive storylines that spiral through it. It's very honest. And I wanted to present it to you today and keep it in a way that was true to the story and friendly enough for all audiences. And so, if you'll forgive me, I want to play a fairly long video today. It's about a 5-minute video, but it is a all pictures, no words kind of a video that tells the story of Hosea. And hopefully you'll be able to track with it and imagine yourself in a scenario like this. So what would you do? How would you deal with it? And again, this is a very thin version of the story. Even this film itself is probably 20 minutes long. With lots of twists and turns, but I'm just giving you the highlights for about 5 minutes just to capture and allow your heart to go there in the storyline. And then we'll come back and reflect on that from the text. So let's watch this now. Thank you. I want you to imagine, what if? What if that were you? What if you were in a situation with twists and turns, challenges, things that are just not right, things that require love that you probably don't have? What if that were you? What if God said to you, this is my will for you. I want you to go and to love that person in spite of that person. This is my will for you and the glory for me, that you go and stick with this person, and they are going to do things to you that are going to hurt you, and I want you to stick with them. I want you to continue with them. When this happens, and it will happen, I want you to continue. I want you to forgive, and I want you to love more. And I want you to dig deeper and go farther. What if? How would you deal with that? It's the story of Hosea. A story of challenge. A story of true love. Or frame it this way. What if your son came home? And your son said, Mom and Dad, I have met the girl of my dreams. And you said, well, great. I asked her to marry me. We haven't even met her yet, you know, but there's, tell us about her. What is going on? Well, I dialed this 1-900 number and I met her. She told me my fortune. And I asked her out and I had to pay for our first date. But then she fell in love and we connected and she's left that world and she's with me now and I'm so excited and I just can't wait for you to meet her. What are you thinking as a mom or dad? Her name's Gomer. You can imagine, right? It's just something scandalous about it. Something not right. Something that bothers us when we hear the story. There's a story told about a preacher who's son had a very similar story. Came home and introduced and said, I have met the girl of my dreams. This is my fiance, Brenda, and I'm so excited to introduce her to you. And they were like, fiance, wow, that's really quick, son. I want you to do the ceremony. We want to do it in a few months at the church. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to introduce her to church. She loves Jesus. She loves me. We love each other. She's very forthright about her past. She had once worked at one of those dancing places. And she ended up getting into a situation. And she got pregnant. And she was going to give the child for adoption, but ended up having an abortion. Felt shame and overwhelmed by this. And had some twists and turns in her life. About of homelessness. Left her family and then came back. And then somewhere along the line, she found Jesus. And a couple years later, she meets the pastor's son. And all things are good. And mom and dad are happy, but there's some angst. There's something scandalous about it. Something's not right. And of course, the elders and the deacons and the leaders of the church kind of hear about what's going on. And they're kind of excited, but kind of concerned. And they end up having this impromptu meeting and kind of gather around. And there's this talking happening and things are being said like, well, you know, I'm concerned for you just a little bit. This happened so fast. And what about the reputation of your father, preacher, and our church, if we start just letting anybody in, what kind of message would that send? And Brenda overheard and left kind of angry and hurt. And the son stands up and he says to the group, he says, you know what the problem is that it's not my fiance who's on trial today. It's the very blood of Jesus that you have put on trial today. Either the blood of Jesus heals us from our sins and purifies us, and we're all welcome here, or all of us are in trouble. True love is always scandalous. Because it draws us into places that are irrational, that don't make sense, that we add A plus B and it doesn't get to C. It jumps around the alphabet. And 1 + 1 doesn't really equal 2. It just doesn't add up because it's bigger than. And it makes no sense to the world. True love is powerful. And it moves us to do crazy things. Like praying for our enemies. Who does that? True love says that when you hit me on my right cheek, I'm going to turn to you my left. And if you speak bad about me, I'm going to speak good about you. Because true love takes on a scandalous, rare form. And that is the message God wants us to know from Hosea. God's love is always scandalous. In light of our season, just imagine your middle school girl comes home. Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. But don't worry, God did it. And my betrothed boyfriend, whom you have groomed me to marry one day, is good with it. An angel talked to him. Think of the scandal of a young Mary. I mean, even in our world, that would be scandalous. But in the first century Jerusalem, Nazareth, in a Jewish mindset, young Mary, scandalous. Young Joseph, scandalous. How could he possibly take that on? Mom and Dad, how do they explain? Everybody in the town does the math. But it's okay because God did this. God told me this. God made this happen. And everybody goes, True love is always scandalous. And I want you to experience this because I think the gospel story at its core, as Paul so clearly said, it is foolishness. It is crazy talk. It is scandalous at its core. And yet it is the epitome of what true love is. It doesn't have to make sense to the world. It only has to make sense to the mind of God. And then we know it to be true because somewhere inside of us, we're watching Pretty Woman going, that is not right, but there's something right about it too. How does he look past all that to see something deeper inside? And we know in our spirit it's right. We know it's true and we don't exactly know why. I think that's by design. God gives us the story of Hosea to remind us that if you search yourself, if you search your heart, you'll know that true love is always scandalous. And that is what makes it so powerful. But here's the crazy part. Hosea chapter 11. Verse 8. Listen to this. Oh, how can I give up on you, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you and demolish you? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows. See, God consistently through the book of Hosea swaps back and forth between Hosea and his love Gomer, who lives an alternative lifestyle that offends. But he keeps loving her, keeps pursuing her. And God says, that is how I love you. That is my people, Israel. You're the church. You're the people that I love. You're my children. You're my bride, Jesus says. And I will pursue you with a scandalous love, no matter how far it takes me. And no matter how crazy it may appear to the world. See, here's the crazy part. This whole time, we are associating ourselves with Hosea. How would we love someone like that? How would we let people into our church who are different from us? How would we do those things? But you know what? In the story of Hosea, we're not Hosea. We're Gomer. We're the ones who've taken on the sins and done horrible things. We've offended our God. We have run away from him. If I were to ask how many of you have lied, I'd probably get some hands if you were honest. How many of you have thought things that you shouldn't have thought? probably a lot of hands. We could go through a whole list of sins, and we would all have some of them to honor. Here's one that we probably none of us would raise our hands. How many of you have worshipped another god recently? Have bowed down to Baal? And we would think, no, I'm not really an idolater. That's the first of the Ten Commandments, and we would never associate ourselves with it. And yet when you read the text, that is the concern. What Gomer does, what Israel does, what the church does, is we put something in place of God. It's so much beyond sin. It's when we're, as Colossians reminds us, and as Ephesians 5:5 reminds us, and many other places, the things we do, the greed, the lusts, the desires, the things that we allow to own us, those are idolatry. Because we are placing a lie in place of truth. This will fulfill me. This will satisfy me. If I could just make a little bit more money, if I could just bring the right gifts, if I could just have the right girl, the right guy, if I could just get married, if I could just have a child, if I could just get a better job, if I could, and we go on and on. And at the end of the day, whenever we place something in the place of fulfillment that only God fits, we become Gomer. And the bad news is that's idolatry. And the good news is God loves us anyway. Can you feel that? God loves you anyway. He loves you so scandalously that he pursues you over and over and over and over again. It makes us uncomfortable. I mean, when we read Hosea 2, for example, 19:20. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, an unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you. I will make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. Know, yada. This is a Hebrew word that means more than just I know your name and I know where you live. It means we are in intimate connection. When Adam knew Eve, babies came out of it. This is the dynamic. It's the exact same word, and it's the exact same context. And it is in the context of marriage. Husband loving and knowing wife. And God says, I want to know you and I want you to know me. We are to be one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And if you believe me, you believe him. When you connect with me, you connect with God. The whole scandalous agenda of Jesus was to bring us into that relationship. Because God loves you scandalously. God's scandalous love is more powerful than any sin you have ever committed. No matter what you have done, no matter how consistently you've done it, no matter how depleted you feel, no matter how depressed you are, no matter what area of your life you still have covered so that God can't see it. No matter if you've been a Christian for a lot of years and you're ashamed that there's still areas that you're hiding. God still loves you. God is still running towards you. God is still waiting on the front porch for you to come home. And he will never stop. He will love you scandalously, unfailing. He will make you love him and he will pursue you until he's done. And the fact that you're here today is proof that you're hearing his voice and that you know he loves you. And I want to remind you of that today from the book of Hosea. Chapter 3, another little section I think is really interesting. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate how the Lord loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and they love and they worship them. Verse 2. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver. Imagine the scene. Hosea's on the highways and the byways. He's looking for his wife, and he goes to the right street corner and he finds his wife, and he says, "Hey, wife, come home with me, your husband." And pimp steps in and says, "Whoa, I don't know who you think you are, but if you want the lady, you got to pay the price." And Hosea says, "How much?" And then he gets out his wallet and he buys what he already owns. Again. The Bible says that the Lord owns the entire world and everything in it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's created you, and therefore he is Lord of all things, whether you know it and admit it or not. And yet he sends Jesus to literally pay the cost of our ransom. He pays the price to buy back the very people he already owns. Why does he do that? Because his love for you is so scandalous. It drives him insane. It tears his heart apart. He is so desperate to love you that he is willing to do anything, even the death of his own son on a cross. There is no greater love story than the love story of Jesus coming into our world, vulnerable as a child, to grow, to live, to model, to example, and then to be the sacrifice for us all. It is the ultimate power, the ultimate story. Jesus buys back what he already owns. And God says, "Hosea, I want you to go and do that. Buy back Gomer. I know you own her. She's your wife. But pay for her ransom. Pull her back into her, your home and bring her back." This is my favorite part. The end of chapter 3. The very last verse here, verse 5. "But afterward, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendant, their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord." I just want to pause there for a minute. Tremble in awe. This word is fear. They will tremble with fear before the Lord. Now, in God's previous way of interacting with humankind, before Jesus, there was this little stickler called the law. So when you stood before the Lord, like Peter when he first saw Jesus, you cower and you say, "I am a man of unclean lips. Turn away from me." And like Isaiah, you cower in fear before the Lord because the great and ominous light makes everything pure and everybody sees you for who you really are. And all your brokenness and all your Gomer-like qualities, they come out loud in the presence of God. And you have failed to live up to the law, and God is the judge, and there's judgment coming, and you know it in that moment, loud and clear. But notice what the text says here. In the latter days, they will tremble in fear of the Lord because of his goodness. Not his judgment, but his goodness. What does it feel like when someone who you have offended comes to you and says, "That hurt me. I love you. I forgive you." Like the lady on the film, embarrassed, ashamed, standing there, not sure what could happen, knowing what should happen. And her husband embraces her, probably whispers something like, "It's going to be okay. I'm here now." And she just melts in peace, knowing that he loves her beyond what she deserves. That is the story of Hosea. That is the story of Jesus. It is scandalous. It is powerful. See, scandalous love sees beyond what you are, and it instead sees what you can become. That is the story of the gospel. It is the greatest story of all time. The reason we talk about Jesus and Advent and expectations, the reason it's so significant, is because the whole world is starving for this. They are so desperate just to know someone cares about them. You all know this feeling and you know love because you're here. And your neighbors and your friends and your family, they might not understand this and they're desperate for it. And the meaner they get and the more frustrating they get is all the more proof of the compensation of what they don't have. You get to be both Hosea and Gomer. Because we are broken people. And God loves us anyways. And He has asked us to go into the world and to do likewise. And one day when we see our Father, and as the righteous light of heaven shines upon us and all of our Gomer qualities begin to bubble to the surface and there's judgment upon us, suddenly this umbrella of Jesus will flow over us and God will move right past us and we'll be in awe that someone loves us like that. And it will create the same sense of reverence and fear, but not in fear of afraidness, but fear of respect. Awe. This is what heaven will be like. Also, in the story of Hosea. I hope you'll read the story this week and think about it this way. At the very end of the book, it ends with a nice little phrase. Most people believe it to be some kind of addendum for whoever put the book together. But listen to this last verse here in verse 9 of chapter 14. Let those who are wise understand. Let those who have discernment listen carefully. Let those who are wise understand. He's saying, look, this story of Hosea is not just a time and place once upon a time. The story of Hosea is about Hosea and Gomer. It's about God and Israel. It's about Christ and the church. It's about each of us. It's about the whole world and all the people that God wants in His house, at His table. It is about the entire story of God. It is the epitome of what scandalous love is all about. And it reminds us, should remind each of you, God loves you so much. So much. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We are in awe of you. Father, I thank you for the message of Gomer and Hosea, the message that is so scandalous that it's made into an R-rated movie. The dynamics of it are so uncomfortable to read and to think about and to put ourselves in those shoes and then to realize that you love us and that we are Gomer. Father, we are humbled. And we're here today to reciprocate that love, to embrace that love, to appreciate it, to say thank you for that love, and to respond as you call us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Today, I hope you'll respond to God. He is searching for you. He is reaching for you. We're all in different places. But the love of God is always the same. Let's stand together. Let's sing.